How's everybody doing this chilly night? Well, happy fall, y'all. And I'm not saying be happy if you fall, as me and Miss Vicky were joking a moment ago, but we are welcoming in. I know I am. I'm welcoming in the cooler weather. And so it is definitely fall time, and the seasons are changing. And I tell you, our neighborhood does a really, really big Halloween thing every year. I'm talking about the entire neighborhood. We live in a circle, everybody's yards. And I ain't talking about kidly friendly decorations. I'm talking about scary stuff. And they got cones around the whole neighborhood. They got police patrolling. And my neighbor across the street, he has some kind of, I don't know, I call it the devil, some big old 9-foot-tall skeleton thing. And every time I walk out the house, his eyes turn red, and he says, "Ha, ha, 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 I got you now." And every time that thing does that, I'm thinking, man, that is just like the devil. Walk out, eyes turn red, "Ha, ha, 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 I got you now." And so, you know, if Joe's watching, no offense to that, it is kind of funny.
You need to get your sign on the house above ours. It's got a big orange and black sign by the driveway that says it's really scary to live without Jesus.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That
is a good one. Really scary to live without Jesus. How about that? Well, speaking of fall and festivities, on the 27th, Sunday evening, will be our trunk or treat fall festival combination. We have two special guests this trunk or treat. Does anybody want to know who those two guests are, or do you want to wait and see? I know that's not right to tell you that and make you wait, huh? Well, I will say that these two guests are hairy. And a little stinky. So we've got a couple goats that's going to be here. And we're going to have a little mini petting zoo, little area. And Brother Larry, I don't know if you know it or not, Brother Larry has a couple goats at his house. And he's using them to eat the weeds up, I guess, out of an area at his place. And so he asked me about that. I said, man, that'd be awesome, you know, to have a couple animals here. So we're still adding to the event on that evening. But just remember that, Trunk or Treat, Sunday the 27th at 5 p.m. It's going to be a great time. Cooking, candy, all the fun stuff. And remember that. And always miss saying outreach, but the day before that, Saturday, will be outreach. And we do have some business church cards coming in. I didn't order a whole lot of them. I just ordered a small batch just to see if everybody likes them. And so those should be in around next Tuesday. But we do have tracts with our church stamp on there. And we've got different colored hats coming in again. The people love those. We got bracelets, extra things to get to the kids. And so, and we will be inviting everybody to our trunk or treat. So we're hoping to have a good time on our outreach on the 26th. And so still in need of candy if you haven't brought any. If you have, we appreciate that. Our candy bin right behind me, you see. Sign-up sheet if you want to decorate your trunk. So just remember that as well. And let's jump into our prayer request time. Brother Allen texted me today. Of course, he's been back to church, but he went to the doctor, I believe it was yesterday. And they said that after this week, he can go back to work light duty. So that's good. You know, he's able to go back to work and light duty. So we praise the Lord for that. Let's do continue to remember the hurricane victims, Helene and Milton, and all the help relief efforts going into that. All the families and lives that's been touched. Let's remember them. Remember our children's home staff and our young people. Continue to remember the Palmers as they continue on their road of health they're on with Brother Leonard and his treatments and scans. Miss Dolores with her heart, remember them. And it was so good having my grandparents here. on Sunday morning, and I was totally shocked that they were here. And my grandpa told me when he was in the hospital, he said, "Son, I'll be back to church when I can." And sure enough, he was there. And I went back and played the Facebook video that we recorded. And some of you may have seen it online. I did a snapshot, a screenshot of when I was holding my grandpa's arms up. And man, it was perfect. Had the TV behind us with the sermon title, and his hands were up. And that was just a moment I'll always savor. I think I'm going to get that framed. That's good. That's just such a nice picture. And we had a great two services last Sunday, didn't we? Good Sunday all the way around. But praise the Lord for that. James and Shirley Townsend, I heard that James is at home sick. Let's pray for him. Don and Carla Rich, brother, Sister Carla's brother over in Douglasville, assisted living. And Miss Connie Norton, as she recovers at home. Miss Diane Ely with her back treatments. Miss Claudia, she went last Tuesday to the doctor.
Okay.
Is she having her esophagus stretched? Is that what? That's the last I heard, that she couldn't because she had some kind of. Okay. Deal with it. Okay. Thank you for that, Ms. BJ. Let's continue to remember Miss Claudia in our prayers, and Brother Harold, of course, he was here Sunday. Jim Jr., he's going to have Achilles tendon surgery as soon as his heel heals from the boot he was wearing. Our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Miss Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, Jamie Carden, Air Force. So let's remember all of these requests. So maybe someone has a prayer request, a praise, or an update of some kind. Hassan?
Thank you for praying for my friends that don't find it, that hidden to Georgia.
Oh.
Somewhere in Georgia.
Okay. All right. Hey, you're
just
welcome.
Trying to find money so we can spend my life in a hotel for a long time and find a place.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, buddy.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We sure will.
He's a good man, good Christian man.
Yeah.
We love Gerald.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you talking.
Let's remember Gerald tonight. What was his last name?
Bennett.
Gerald Bennett. Remember this. Anybody else? All right. Well, Brother Jeff is at home tonight. He's recovering, getting better. He's doing better in his back, but he's still got some sickness going on, so he's at home. But I tell you what, I've had a certain song in my heart this week, and it's something that I want to have played tonight. It's a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean called Mercy Come Running. Mercy Came Running. And I remember when I first got saved, listening to that song. It meant so much to me, and I was walking this morning, and I was listening to it, and it just brought me back to when I first got saved. And so I'm just kind of thinking about the mercy of God tonight and how merciful and kind He is, and how much of a misfit I've been before I got saved and even after I got saved. But He understands me, and just like any father raising a child, you know, there's the crawling stage and the walking stage, you fall, get up, and then finally they're walking on their own. But after we pray, I want to play that, and we're just going to have a backdrop running of the empty tomb, because it portrays Jesus coming up out of that grave and how it's just like mercy came running to us. And so you just listen to the words. After we pray, we're going to play that song. All right? Okay. Well, let's have a time of prayer together, and then we will play that song for you tonight.
Chains from the wages of my sin, just when mercy came running like a prisoner set free. I passed all my failures to the point of my need. But the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. Sometimes I still feel so
thank you for indulging me tonight for a little bit. I love that song, and mercy came running, mercy came running. And we could not get to mercy. Mercy came running to us. What a blessing. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and make our way to Colossians chapter number 3 for a few moments. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 12 down through verse number 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Lord, we're thankful tonight for your mercy. We were separated from you on our way to hell, but you died upon the cross, you were buried, and you rose again. And so mercy is available to all, to be forgiven of our sin and to receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, to receive a purpose on earth. Father, how fulfilling it is to be a child of God. Everything isn't always smooth nor a bed of roses, but it's just different when you get saved. We have somebody with us. There's purpose for our pain. You give a song in the night, and you use all of those things together for good. What an adventure the Christian life is. And then at the very end, we get to see you. What a blessing. Father, I pray tonight that you'd use this lesson to be an encouragement to your people. Lord, let us be challenged and changed by the time we leave tonight. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 12, if you would. The Bible says, put on. Keep that in mind. Put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. There's that word put on again. Which is the bond of perfectness or perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12 down through verse number 17. Tonight, I want to give this idea or make this statement in my introduction. We have a problem in the church world on how to dress. On how to dress. Not many churches are teaching their congregants on dressing properly. Wait a minute, Brother Justin. You're going to talk to the Wednesday night crowd about dressing. Yeah. Yeah, I am. And to those that are watching on Facebook, we're talking about dressing tonight. And those listening on the webpage, we're talking about dressing. The Bible is crystal clear in these verses. There are some things that we should put off. And there are some things that we should put on. In fact, if you notice verse number 8, the Bible says, "But now ye also put off all these." And so, the title tonight is simply this: The Christian Wardrobe. The Christian Wardrobe. And again, we're not talking about clothes, but we're talking about character. And I believe that the writer here, Paul, gives us the Christian wardrobe, how we are to, what we're to take off and what we're to put on. Very simple lesson tonight, but I hope it'll be an encouragement to you and a challenge to all of us. So there's only 2 points tonight. Some things we are to put off, and some things we are to put on. Verse number 8 and 9 gives us some things we are to put off. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And so tonight, there are some things that we are to put off. The things mentioned here in verse number 8 and 9 are inconsistent with the Christian life and the believer. They're just inconsistent. It's not part of the new nature. It's not the new normal. And so these are things inconsistent with the Christian calling. These things that we're about to mention that we are to put off, these are unbecoming of the Christian. If we see a Christian that's angry, it's hard to say, "Hey, look at that Christian." If we see a Christian that is wrathful or malicious and all the rest of it, that's just behavior that's unbecoming of the believer. Those aren't Christ-like characteristics. And so these are unbecoming of the believer. Let me say this: by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that makes it possible for us to put these things off. Now, in verse number 1, he says this: "If ye then be risen with Christ." In other words, if you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that the old you has died. You have died, you have been buried, and you rose again to walk in the newness of life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're still not tempted to sin or our old man doesn't bother us anymore. Now, he's dead. But Paul put it this way in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter number 7. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That phrase, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death," is through the idea of the ancient times, and sometimes in the ancient times as a form of punishment, they would strap a dead person to their back with chains. And they would have to drag that person around each and every day as a form of punishment. So Paul is saying our old man is dead, but he is still attached to us. And but yet because of the resurrection of Jesus and because we accepted him in his salvation, we have the potential to be an overcomer. We have the potential to lay some things aside. So he says in verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Listen to this, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So thus far, he's telling us that the old us is actually dead. Although we struggle with the old us, we have a new nature that helps us propel forward, that helps us seek those things which are above. We have a new nature that helps us set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Verse number 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a blessing that is. One day, Brother Ceylon, we'll fight our last fight with the flesh. When we go home to meet the Lord, if he comes in the rapture before we die, like the song says, this robe of flesh we will drop to the ground. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. At any rate, when we die, we'll be with Jesus in glory, and we won't have to worry about this flesh. But until then, verse number 5 says, mortify. That word mortify means to put to death, to starve. I want to tell you something. I've been starving for over a year now on this diet plan I've been on. And I put on a couple pounds, but not much. But I got it under control. I know y'all believe me. I promise you I do. I went walking this morning. I had a very light breakfast. I had a protein bar about 5 o'clock today. Drank plenty of water. So I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And thank you for believing in me and all your support. But the word mortify means to starve. There is nothing fun about starting a diet. And certainly if you go off the tracks trying to get back on, there is this warfare going on the inside. And so like the Christian life, whenever we get saved, we are to mortify, put to death the members which are upon the earth. He mentions fornication, verse 5. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And he mentions these things, and it's, listen, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's complicated. He goes on and he says, put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so we are called to put some things off. So let's look at some of these things in verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these anger. Anger. How about that? We should not put on anger, but we should put off anger. Anger here means violent passion. Brother Justin, does this mean that I can't get angry as a believer? Yes. The Bible is very clear you can. That's why it tells us to put it off. Deliberate action. But now ye also put off all of these. Now, as a believer, there's some things we've got to put off. Anger. Violent passion. Has there been any time since you've been saved that you have emotionally got upset and expressed passion violently? Well, the Bible tells us that we ought to work on putting that off. We have the ability. In fact, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. We always say, never go to bed angry. But realistically, how many, don't raise no hands. But realistically, how many times have we went to bed angry? I mean, you know, for all of us who aren't spiritual giants would have to say more than I would like to share. But we ought not to go to bed angry because we just don't know what a day may bring. We may we may not never wake up, and of course we'll be in the presence of God then. But at any rate, be ye angry and sin not. Now we are, it is okay to be angry over some things. We need to be angry over the direction our country is going in. We need to be angry over people, you know, on the ballot, vote pro, we're pro-life, right? Somebody help me out. Choice, yes. I don't know why I couldn't get that out. Pro-choice and the way the country's going with lesbianism and gay pride, and they just had their march on Sunday, I believe it was. You know, we're not throwing no stones. We're not doing anything like that. But we are angry spiritually at some things in this world. We ought to be angry at the sins we commit. We ought to be angry if we're not further along spiritually than we are. And we ought to use that anger as a positive energy to do better and go further. And so we see there's the word anger, violent passion. But then he uses the word wrath, which is a cousin to anger, and violent or wrath here, it means fierceness or breathing hard. These are closely connected. And so a person is angry, and if it's not under control, they get wrathful. All right, fierce, breathing hard. And there's so many wrathful people in our day, just angry, violent, passion, fierce, breathing hard. And then there's the next word, and that is the word malice, which is a desire to do evil or ill will. You see how all of these kind of piggyback on one another? They all have something to do with one another. They're all closely related. We ought not to be malicious. That's not becoming of a Christian, is it? To plot evil against someone or something that we may benefit. That's not becoming of a child of God. That's not a good characteristic of a Christian. And so we are to put anger off, put wrath off, put malice off. And then there's blasphemy, evil speaking against God. I would never, not a million years say it, but, and I don't even like to think it, but you hear people say it, and this is one of the least ways of blasphemy against God, but using His name in vain. I can't stand it when I hear that, when people use His name in vain. They connect and they use it as a curse word, but really using God's name in vain is using it as a byword. Byword. Oh God, oh God, how many times? Lord help, Lord. Are you really asking for God to help you, or are you just using it as a byword? You know, a form of blasphemy, in my estimation. Evil speaking against God, speaking evil against God, and being mad at God, and saying that the Lord isn't the only way to heaven, and all these things. That ought not to come out of the mouth of a believer or their heart. Filthy communication, he mentions here. Filthy communication, vile communication, corrupt communication, dirty communication ought not to be named among us as believers. Now, we're not meeting tonight as going over a list of thou shalt not. Because as a believer, we don't want to do these things, do we? We want to do the right things. We're interested in the Christian wardrobe, and this is certainly not part of it, and that is filthy communication is not part of our wardrobe. Then he says in verse number 9, lie not to one another. The word lie there just simply means untruth. We're not to be fibbers. We're not to be fibbers. We're not to lie. We know that. I mean, you know, we come into this world as babies, and, you know, we don't have to teach our kids to lie, do we? It happens naturally. But we do have to teach them how to say the truth and speak the truth. But even as adults, sometimes if we're not careful, we can lie. That's just not a garment in our closet, spiritually speaking. We ought to lay aside the garment of lying. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And so it's possible not to lie. Have you ever met a person that they just cannot tell the truth? I remember growing up with a guy, all he did was lie. I mean, he will lie about everything. I think he was just pumping through his veins. I have to lie. I have to lie. I mean, you could never take him. And then, you know, I think one time he told the truth and I didn't believe him. You know, what's it like? Boy cried wolf. There's a wolf outside. There's a wolf outside. Don't see no wolf. There's a wolf outside. Don't see no wolf. There's a wolf outside. Oh, whatever. I'll be back in a minute. Never come back. Got ate up by the wolf. Let us tonight. And listen, I know there's no liars here, but it's in the Bible. We have to share it. Lie not one to another, seeing that we have put off the old man with his deeds. And so we ought to have a character. We ought to have some characteristics that portray Christ. Does Christ lie? No. It's impossible for him to lie, the Bible says. Impossible. He only tells the truth. And so let us not wear that garment. Now, these are all unbecoming to the Christian. And so we should put these off. All right? And so we have put off some things tonight. Now it's time to dress with some things. This is the Christian's wardrobe. All right? Some things we are to put on. These are things that are becoming to the Christian. These are Christ-like characteristics. All right? Look at verse number 12. We are to put on, the Bible says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. We just listened to mercy came running. The kindness of God came running. Mercy came running. We ought to be merciful because God has been merciful to us. Tonight we live in a heartless society, don't we? Very heartless and rugged and rough and cruel. People do not care about you. People do not care about me in this society, in this world. They just care about themselves. Them and their four and no more. That's what they care about. They want to use you. They want to use me for their own selfish gain. And it's hard to want to be nice back to people like that, especially when you know they're using you. It is hard to want to be nice back. But the Bible tells us that we are, because we have been risen with Christ, because our old man is dead, we are to put on bowels of mercy. It is a choice. Listen to this. A lady had a best friend, but every day her best friend talked behind her back. She was her best friend as long as she served her purpose. And then when she was done serving her purpose, she was on her hate list. That's not a best friend, is it? Turn your back, they're talking about you, and then when they're done using you, you're on their hate list. I've met a few in my day through my years in ministry, and even before I got saved, where they pat me on the back, only to wipe off a good place to stab you in the back. All right? So what's our response to that? Stabbing them in the back? Talking to them rudely and roughly? No. That's not our garment. Rendering evil for evil is not a Christian garment, but bowels of mercy is a Christian garment. We are to put these on. It's part of our wardrobe. And so we live in a society where people use each other for wrong reasons. And how unbecoming for a Christian to wear this garment of using people. Let us not be people who use people. Let us not be those kind of people. But God wants us to have bowels of mercy, strong affection, be merciful, sympathetic, have pity, meaning have a heart filled with compassion. Now, in order to have a heart filled with compassion, number one, the right kind of compassion, unconditional love, you've got to know Jesus as your Savior. But number two, you've got to spend time with Him. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to respond the right way to somebody that's using you. You have, and I will say 1,000 times, yes, you've got to stay plugged in. You've got to be meeting with the Father in order to have bowels of mercy. It doesn't come naturally because you still got an old man on your back. And that old man wants to seek revenge. That old man wants to, I'll make you pay. But God says we are to put on bowels of mercy. We're to be merciful people. And I believe this world needs to see some mercy, doesn't they? Don't they? They need to see a little bit of mercy. All right, now let's move on to the next word in verse number 12. He says, bowels of mercy, but then he says kindness. Kindness. And these are piggybacking on one another. They're closely related. Kindness. Gentleness. This is a becoming garment that a Christian should wear. It's gentleness. Be gentle. Have you ever met somebody in church? Let's talk about church people. That you were, not afraid to approach, but you thought, man, if I, 9 times out of 10, they blow me out every time I come to them about something. You know, you ever met that kind of person? You come to them and you're like, man, I know what they're going to say. They're just going to blow me out. They're going to be rude. They're just going to shrug me off. You know, we ought to be approachable people. We ought to be gentle people. The Bible talks about let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we know how to answer every man. And listen, this is something we have to work at. Nobody's conquered this 100%, but Jesus. We may have a bad day. We may not feel good. And somebody asks us something. Ah! Get away from me. Don't talk to me today. You know, we all have our days. But at the end of the day, we have the ability to say, don't talk to me. Get away from me. No. But we do have a choice. We have a choice. And listen, if we wake up and we're a grump, and we're a chump, let's just stay at the house. And, you know, don't go out and don't be around people if you know you've got a short fuse that day. Kindness, gentleness, we've got to put it on each and every day. We've got to walk to our spiritual closet, open it up, thumb our way through our garments, and make sure we pull out the one that of kindness and make sure we put it on. It's a deliberate action. Put on bowels of mercy. Put on kindness. And then he says, humbleness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Christians shouldn't think too highly of themselves. We know that. God can get glory. God can't get glory from a proud Christian, if you think about it. Someone that's always bragging, someone that's boasting. Look what I did. Oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. I'm good enough. I can do this. I can do that. That's not the kind of mindset Jesus wants us to have. He wants us to have a humble mindset. A mindset that's lowly. One that uplifts one another and esteems the other better than themselves. And when we do that, when we have a humble mind and we talk and we connect with people and we put them first and ask about them, pray for them, then God gets the glory for it. Then that garment is noticeable. Hey, you know, they've been walking with God. They've been talking with the Lord because they have bowels of mercy, because they're kind, because they have a humble mind. You can tell who's been walking with God and who hasn't been walking with God. Now, we're not coming to church and saying, I wonder if they've been walking with the Lord or not. You don't have to do that. You can tell it. You can tell it. You can tell because of what they have on. Some people have on anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communications, and you can see it. They've been talking about somebody today. You know, they, you know. And look, maybe someone had a bad day. We're all entitled to have bad days, and so we're not just throwing a big blanket over everybody, but you can tell most of the time those who have spent time with the Lord, those who have personal awareness of themselves. Let us have personal awareness of ourselves so that we know we must take some stuff off and put some stuff on. And you can just tell those who have put on these garments whenever you're talking with them, because they have an attitude that's merciful. They have an attitude that's kind. They're humble in mind. They are trying to encourage you. All right, let's look at the next word, meekness. Meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. There's some men that I know that are big in stature, tall, big, strapping men that know God, walk with God, and by talking with them, you would think they couldn't even hurt a fly. You know, I'm just giving you a picture of this. Meekness can be described as subdued strength. I can crush you, but I won't. And to have a big guy that's filled with God that is, oh, hey, brother, yes, yeah. You know, just meek and mild and lowly and very nice and courteous. I mean, there is no kidding what kind of garment they have on. They have on the garments of God. They have on meekness. And can anybody tell me who the meekest man in the Bible is? Well, yeah, actually Jesus. But Moses was known as the meekest, right? Moses. And Moses killed somebody. And so he had the potential to kill again, but he wasn't going to do it. All right? And so meek. It's not weak. It's subdued strength. I know I can mess things up, but because of that, I'm planning accordingly not to. I'm subduing my strength. There's the word long-suffering. Forbearance or suffering long. This is a definite garment we have to put on every day. Not only the things we mentioned, but the garment of long-suffering. And so when you're thumbing through your closet, make sure you find that one every day. We have to be long-suffering with the day, how it progresses, and the things we have to do. We have to be long-suffering at times with one another, which means we just have to forbear one another. We have to forbear the day. We have to bear up under these things. Suffer long. Listen to this. If you put little limbs on a fire, they'll burn up just like that. But if you get big pieces of lumber or find an old piece of oak and put it on a fire, it will burn a long time, won't it? So in like manner, we are to be long burning. Long suffering means long burning. And, you know, sometimes we fail at this, don't we? The perfect storm, perfect circumstance, and everything's going wrong, and you know, we're worn down, and we don't have that ability to be long-suffering, and so we just express anger and wrath and all of those things. But the Bible tells us to be long-suffering, to burn long. And then it falls right into the next one. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another. How about that long-suffering going in connection with forbearing one another? So he says forbearing one another is an article in this spiritual closet. Forbearing means to hold back. It also can mean to put up with. Sometimes, whether it's church family or our own personal family, sometimes we just got to hold back. Sometimes we just got to put up with some stuff. Oh, I want to let them have my mind. I want to tell them this. I'm telling you what I want to tell them that. No. That's not a garment to put on for you if you name the name of Christ. That's not a garment for me to put on. I mean, there's times where I feel like that person in the grocery store, I'm going to park my car and I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell them how I feel. And then the Holy Ghost gets to speaking to me. I can't do that. Up here at Walmart in Hiram, the people who greet on the left side of Walmart you go in, they call me pastor. I mean, I've been in there buying TVs and it's for the church and talking to people. I can't get upset there because they know me as pastor, you know? And so sometimes I'm like, I can't go nowhere. I just feel that, you know? But that's really a good thing. I have accountability everywhere in Hiram, everywhere I go mainly, and people I deal with, somehow, some way, it's come up about church or pastoring something or another. And so I just can't. Sometimes I just have to put up with some stuff. But not just being a pastor, but being a Christian. It's not becoming of me as a Christian if I lose my cool, my temper. Well, you rung me up wrong and make it right. There's no reason to act that way. You know, come on. We're talking about a few dollars here. be forbearing, hold back, put up with. Whether it's in church, whether it's at home or in the grocery store, sometimes we just simply have to put up with some things we don't want to. But this is a fruit of a Christian, is long-suffering. And so you see somebody that has the time and place where they can just totally get angry and they don't, and you're watching them not get angry, I want to say that's refreshing to me. I've seen some, I don't know if they were saved or not, but I've seen some occasions in the public where someone was acting mean or rude and the other person didn't give them the time or day. They were just being nice and kind. That's refreshing to see that. You know, it's encouraging. And not to get rude back, not even to get defensive. I think when somebody gets defensive about something, it doesn't look that good. I mean, and I'm talking about me. In the past, I've struggled a lot about being defensive about everything. But for the past few years, I've really been working on that. I mean, I would want somebody, if somebody would say something to me that would offend me, I just want it to roll off, you know, because it's so refreshing. I mean, there's a guy that I watch on YouTube, and it's baseball cards, and he opens them up on YouTube. And there's people that put in that chat, oh, you're you know, you don't know how to do that. You know, you're a fool. And he reads them, and he just lets it roll off. It's so refreshing. I don't know why it's so refreshing. It just is. And to see a believer, when they can attack somebody by what they said, let it roll off, hallelujah. That's Jesus. Jesus is present. I want to be more like Jesus, don't you? And maybe by the time he comes or I die and go see him, maybe I'll be more like him by that time, whenever that is. But I'm really trying to be like the Lord. And so he says, forbearing one another. All right, the garment of forbearance is part of our wardrobe. And then what about this one? Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. It's easy for me to tell you to forgive somebody, but when the offense happens to me, it's much harder for me to forgive somebody. You know, it's always easier preached than lived. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so whenever we're in that situation, we have to look on the inside. Are we forgiven? If we are, we must forgive. And listen, it is easier preached than lived. I understand that. Sometimes we have to work over time to get to a place of forgiving, but for forgiveness. But at the end of the day, this is a garment that we should be wearing, is the garment of forgiveness. Forgiving one another means to pardon or let go. To pardon or to let go. Sometimes it may be a legitimate complaint, or you may be legitimately offended. Look what he says. If any man have a quarrel against you, a blame, a fault against you, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It may be some kind of legitimate circumstance or situation that got out of control. You may have been offended. You may have offended them. But at the end of the day, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So in the quarrels of life, we're blaming them, they're blaming us, let us forgive. Let us forgive. Even as Christ has forgave us. Again, easier preached than lived, but it must be lived. Must be lived. Someone may have a bad habit or an irritating behavior that you may know, and you would like to just tell them off. This would be unbecoming as a child of God. That's what we've been saying tonight. Someone may be getting at you, getting under your skin. You may just want to tell them off. You may just want to just, you know, shake them. But at the end of the day, we're to forbear one another. And certainly we are to forgive one another. Forgive one another. All right? And so we forgive, we forbear. Let me mention something else. Verse number 14. He says, and above all, why would he say above all? I think he says above all, and he mentions charity, which is love. If we get that right, the rest will follow suit. Okay? So he's walking us through all these apparels in our wardrobe, spiritual collection, and he says, and above all, do not forget to put on charity or put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And so charity, it just means love, it means affection. And so we got to make sure that we put on that robe of love, that garment of love each and every day. Now, look at verse number 15 for a moment, if you would. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so he mentions here the peace of God. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace of God means quietness. It means rest. We're to put on, so to speak, in so many words, we're to put on the peace of God. Now, we have peace with God through the new birth, but do we have the peace of God? Are we at peace with ourselves? Is there quietness and rest within us? He says, put on the peace of God. He says the peace of God will rule in your hearts. We need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. That, another word for rule here means umpire. Means to umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. We know what an umpire is. Calls the shots. All right, what a strike is, what a ball is. That's how I look at this. So we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let God call the shots. Let us follow His peace. And so it means quietness and rest. It's to allow God to, in His peace, to rule in our hearts. Let God's peace call the shots. If you don't have peace about something, don't do it. It's simple as that. But when we rest in God, giving Him full control, we will have peace. All right? And so it is possible to get missed signals. If we have peace, if we have peace with God and we have the peace of God, then we're going to be people of peace and we're going to walk in peace. All right? But if we're not walking in peace, if we're not in connection with Him and the peace of God is not ruling in our hearts, there's a lot of things that we won't have peace about, will we? Well, I don't have peace about this. I don't have peace about that. Well, how much time have you spent with the Lord? Not as much as I should, okay? Go spend some time with the Lord. Put some stuff off. Put some things on. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and He will guide you. I mean, it's really that simple. Spend time with God, and He will guide you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it call the shots. And so the peace of God, verse 15. Now, notice something else. Look at verse 16. I mean, verse 15 again. One more time, verse 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be grateful. We must put on gratitude. It's easy to wake up in the morning. I always start in the morning with some of my illustrations. It's easy to wake up in the morning and think about what you got to do. Think about what's going wrong. There is a call to be grateful. And I said it the other Wednesday, and I'll say it again, that I started praying at the end of my prayers. Most of the time, I say, with thanksgiving in my heart. I try to make a conscious effort while I'm asking God to do something, while I'm making supplication to Him, to give Him thanks. To give Him thanks. That's what He says in Philippians chapter number 4. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's just what I do, because I don't want to be ungrateful. And sometimes I can get in that mindset, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need that. Well, all the while He supplied everything thus far, and He will continue. Look at verse 16. We're almost done. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He talks about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Sometimes you see teachers teaching and preachers preaching, and they're preaching on, you know, stories from years ago. They're preaching on the newspaper. They're preaching on politics, and the crowd's going, yeah, 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 yeah. And God is nowhere in that. He says, be wise in the word. Know the word. Teacher, when you teach, make sure when you get up to teach, the word of God is in you richly, oozing out of you. I remember Keith Collins at Floyd Road. He would say on occasion, when I would ask him what he was preaching on, he would say, I really don't know. I'm just going to, I'm preaching from my overflow. I remember that. Preaching from my overflow. And what he meant by that was, I've been studying all week. I have the word of God in me richly. I'm just going to get up and whatever God wants me to share, it's just going to come out. You know, and that's not being irresponsible. There's times where I've been studying all week and I ain't got nothing, Brother Don, Brother Ceylon. Now, when I head into the church, I have an inkling, a topic or two where I could preach from. But see, I'm waiting on that big one to drop on my mind and heart, where I feel it and I know it. People in the church are going through similar situations. It's ideal. It's perfect. I want to preach the needs of the people. And man, it's a perfect recipe for an awesome service. But there's times where I just don't know. But I got God's word in me richly. And so he tells us to make sure that we put on this garment. And that is to have the word of God dwelling in us richly. To be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that we have within us. He says, and not then after we digest the word, we are to project the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, which is understanding. Understand God's word, and then teach God's word. Teaching and admonishing one another. He says, in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so we are to digest the word of God. We are to teach the word of God. It's okay to sing the word of God because all of it honors God and his word. All right? And so verse number 16 talks about that. And then lastly, verse number 17, he says this, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, there are gray areas in life where we're not sure what would bring God glory. You know, you may be experiencing something or praying about something, and we're just not sure if it will ultimately bring God glory, or if it's God honoring. And so he says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him and the Father by him. You know, Paul here, he gives a standard to measure all we do. All we do. Just stay with me. If we can't do it in the name of the Lord, you shouldn't be doing it. So he says, and whatsoever you do, well, whatever I do, I need to make sure I can do it in the name of the Lord. And if I can't do it in the name of the Lord, I shouldn't be doing it. That makes sense. And whatsoever ye do in word, whatever I say, make sure I could say in Jesus' name. Whatever I do, make sure I can do it in Jesus' name. And if it's something that I say that doesn't bring glory to God, or I can't do it in the name of Jesus, something I do, then I don't need to be doing it. And so verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is something else we need to put on, is just our daily activity. Whatever we do, make sure that we can do it in Jesus' name. Put on Jesus' name, so to speak. Put it on. Make sure everything can be done in Jesus' name. In conclusion, a little short illustration for you, talking about our spiritual wardrobe or our Christian wardrobe. We would not go on a job interview in dirty clothes, would we? And so therefore, in like manner, let us have on the right garments as we face a lost and dying world to the honor and glory of God. Let us have on our Christian wardrobe and not on the the dirty kind of wardrobe or the other. So there's a wardrobe we need to take off, and there's a wardrobe we need to put on, the Christian wardrobe. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the lesson. I pray that we would just digest these verses. And Lord, what's jumping out to me right now is pretty much the last thing we mentioned, is making sure we can say something in the name of the Lord and do something in the name of the Lord. And if we can't say it or do it, let us not do it. Lord, let us move in the right directions in life. Let us have on our Christian wardrobe so that when the lost people see us, hear us, even when we come in contact with family and friends, even people at church, our church family, Lord, let us be adorned the right way, projecting Jesus. None of us are perfect, oh God, but that is our desire, is to be more like you. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Lord, let us have a fantastic, godly, wonderful, amazing Sunday morning, Sunday night service this coming up Sunday is our prayer. Save the lost and bless the saved. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Anything to mention? I think that pretty much summed it up. All right. Well, everybody have a great evening. And when you go to turn your gas on or your heat on, just remember there's going to be that weird smell before it all clears out. All right. And so it may set off some smoke detectors or carbon monoxide. I hope not carbon monoxide detectors. But anyway, praise the Lord for his provisions. All right. Okay, you're dismissed.